much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a beautiful Thursday. A lot of the rain seems to have gotten out of the area, at least for a little while, and today has turned out to be a beautiful Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee. If you get a chance later, get out and enjoy some of the good weather. We've got a good show for you today. Let's begin by saying hello to Terry McCormick, who joins us from up in Westmoreland, Tennessee. Terry, how are you?
Doing okay, George, and as soon as you say that, we just had a nice little rain shower that lasted about 30 minutes here and may have thwarted my plans to mow the yard after the show's over.
Really?
Yes.
So is that
back out?
Is that bad news or perhaps great news?
Well, I guess it depends on what tomorrow's forecast is.
Right. But I mean, you're not one of these people who loves cutting grass.
Well, actually, I don't mind it because it's kind of, you know, my get away from everything time.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
The child getting on your nerves?
No. But everybody has to have some alone time at times.
Oh, I hear you. Let's come a little closer to home and say hello to Jack Gentry, who joins us. Jack, your check is in the mail to Battleground?
Yeah, it's in the process, George. It's a slow process, as you know.
Right. Are you using the U.S. Postal Service or one of these horses that looks like they're riding backwards at Gulfstream?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I've finally found the right pin I'm going to use for this. So that's where we are in this process.
Wow. So we really have not written the check.
But we found the pin.
Yeah, that's certainly good news. Guys, let me start with what I think is a piece of good news. Maestro, hit it. So over the last, month or so, one of the Fox Sports channels, it's either 1250 or 1251 if you have Comcast, has been showing all of the victories in the Predators' run to the Stanley Cup Final in 2017. They have reached the Anaheim series, which was an absolutely nasty series. Dirty Anaheim. To me, is the poster child back then of dirty. And tonight, I think, is game three when they move back to Bridgestone with the series tied at one game apiece. Terry, what you will notice if you listen tonight is a level of crowd noise that is unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely. That place was electric.
I had more fun during the 2 months of that run, went to all of the playoff games as a season ticket holder and just acted like a lunatic. And what I remember, or what I think I remember, is that when Colton Sissons scored the goal in game six that ultimately won it, gave the Preds the 4-3 lead that they held on to, that may be the loudest I have ever heard an indoor venue. And I've been to some great places. I've been to the United Center in Chicago, been to Rupp Arena, been to Madison Square Garden. I've been to a few. Not my first rodeo when it comes to arenas, but when Sisson scored that goal in game six, I swear to you, the roof came off the place.
It just about did.
Yeah. So, Jack, be watching tonight because it's it gets pretty intense. Is Jack with us?
Yeah, he's on the phone. There he is.
I lost off for like a second there. But this is where the
what were you finding your Battleground Academy pin?
No, we found that. I don't know what was going on.
Okay.
This is where the Preds regained some momentum in that series, though, after going on the road and splitting with Anaheim. I just looked it up. I think it was a 2-1 victory. Phil Forsberg and Yossi come through in this one.
Yeah. By the way, I watched a little bit of Major League, what do they call it? Major League 2 last night. And of course, Bob Uecker is unbelievable as the announcer because he goes from being peppy to just absolutely snockered. And the poor guy that's next to him throws in a comment at one point, and Uecker says to him, he says, "That broadcast school has really paid dividends." I've only seen that movie about 4 times during the pandemic. By the way, if you're keeping score, it was 11 weeks ago today that the SEC and virtually every conference in America canceled their postseason tournaments.
Wow.
Yep, and I was there that night. I grabbed some good pictures. I'll put them up on the Plaster Show's Twitter account. But there was an aura in that arena that night where you could kind of tell, hey, this may be the last one of these things with fans for quite some time. And sure enough, here we are, what is it, 11 weeks later.
Yeah, that was the Wednesday night when Vandy and Arkansas played. I was there as well, and there was a weird vibe. Of course, it got out about midway through the first game that was the last time spectators were going to get in a gym. And when the announcement got made, everybody booed.
Oh, yeah. And if you remember in that Vandy game, I was in press row covering Vanderbilt for A to Z Sports, and there was a lot of buzz going on earlier in the night. You're right, because Vandy played the late game. And so at one point in the first half of the Vanderbilt game, the shot clock goes out, and you hear this big PA announcement, and me and the people I was sitting around, immediately our eyes shot up to the PA announcement to maybe read a statement that had said, hey, SC tournament is canceled, everybody go home, they'll come back. But yeah, that night it was a weird feeling in that building.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Terry, give me some thoughts on this. NFL owners today tabled the proposal that would have given teams an alternative to the onside kick, and this is the second consecutive year that they have decided against addressing what has become kind of a goofy issue. First of all, do you think the players like this proposal?
I think it's probably split. I think there are some people who, you know, the ones who are very safety conscious probably think that this is a good idea, and then there are some who are traditionalists that probably would prefer things remain the same. To me, you know, I kind of like not messing with it. I think when you're down late in a game, you know, there's a couple of things. When you're down late in a game, I think getting an onside kick should be difficult. I don't think it should be something, you know, a 4th-and-15 pass is very, it's not easy to complete, but it's certainly easier than recovering an onside kick. And then the second part of that is, what about when teams want to do a surprise onside kick? You know, if you eliminate that, then you're taking out an element of the game. Remember the Super Bowl where the Saints and the Colts played and the Saints came out of halftime with the surprise onside that turned that game around?
Of course, and it's probably you know, it's probably the poster child play of Sean Payton's career.
Oh, absolutely.
By the way, Jack, a little quiz here. You ready?
Okay.
Since 2018, when the NFL changed its kickoff rules, teams have recovered what percentage of onside kicks?
Mm. Oh, 5%.
10.5. Before that,
that's higher than I thought it was.
The 5 years before that, 16.3%, or roughly one out of every six, and now we're at about one out of every 10. So, Terry, let me ask you this. What would be the percentages, and I've heard this, and I can't remember it, fourth and 15, team goes for it. What are the percentages of making it?
I would be guessing, but I would say 20%.
That much?
I would think so, somewhere in that neighborhood, because, you know, occasionally a guy will miss a tackle or there will be a blown assignment and, you know, somebody will get into an open spot in a zone, that sort of thing. And I would think that it would be a little higher than, you know, the 10% of getting the onside kick.
What do you make, Terry, of this Jadeveon Clowney story that Cleveland's offered him more money than anybody else, and it looks like he's thumbed his nose at him?
Yeah, it's a little interesting. I mean, that tells me that obviously he doesn't want to go to Cleveland, or he would have taken the best offer on the table. It also tells me that, you know, he's probably wanting to position himself with a team that he feels like has a chance to win. And I think that if you look around, probably the Titans and the Eagles would be the two teams that have been talked about that might be able to fill that bill for him.
Do you have any evidence that anything's going on, really, between the Titans and him?
Not beyond what John Robinson gave, you know, in the couple of times we've had him on conference calls or that he's been on radio shows, including ours. I think it's, you know, one of those situations where it's just kind of played close to the vest. You know, the people that I've reached out to, nobody's really saying much of anything about it other than, you know, that it's still an option, still on the table, that it's not something they've crossed off the list.
Okay. Jack, you want to play another little game?
Oh, yeah.
We'll call this one Fill in the Blank.
We need the match game music.
If the Titans sign Jadeveon Clowney, blank. Fill in the blank.
I'm going to use a few words here.
Whoa, hold on here a minute. Hold on. Apparently we got big props. Can I ask what that is?
You don't know what this is.
No, I don't.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm not a millionaire, so I don't guess I pay as much attention as I should. Okay. If the Titans sign Jadeveon Clowney, blank.
They win the AFC South for the first time in 2008.
Terry?
Yeah, I would. I think they can do that anyway. I say that they make another run deep in the postseason. Once again, at least to the divisional round.
Okay. Well, that was wonderful. Nice sound effects. Good update. You all will notice that I really didn't say much about the big story that's kind of going on right now. Let me say up front, Danny Evans will join us at 2:40, and we will get it all out there. Some of your phone calls that you may want to take with Danny. And by the way, if you have not heard Danny, I'll put him up there with anybody in the baseball world. I'm talking Buster. I'm talking Jason Stark. I'm talking Ken Rosenthal, and no disrespect to any of those three. Tim Kirchen would be another one. I think they're great. I think Danny Evans is every bit as good, and he comes at it from a very different perspective. He was once a general manager with the Dodgers. He was once an assistant general manager with the White Sox. He was once a player agent for a short amount of time. He has seen virtually every side of this there is to see. So, I have said very little so far, but I want to read you a tweet that I put out earlier today that got, and remember, I'm new to Twitter, so it's not like I've got 80 million followers. But this is what I put out there, and it's gotten a lot of response. So here goes. This is me 5 hours ago. Right now, it's hard to be a Major League Baseball fan. Not really surprised at the animosity between the players and the owners. Here's the problem. During a pandemic with close to 20% unemployment, people don't want to hear the whining. Find a solution and let's play ball.
That's fair,
Terry,
enough.
It was fair enough, wasn't it?
Yeah, so absolutely. I don't think anyone wants to hear someone complain that they're only making $3 million a year when you've got, you know, unemployment hovering around 20% because of this pandemic. And I think that there are lots of people who will have a hard time feeling sorry for Major League ball players, shall we say.
So, do you want to hear me get royally pissed off?
Sure.
Then stick around.
Be broadcast.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not. We're not going to pull a Don King here. Jack, it sounded like you wanted to hear that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait.
Right. So, when we come back, a couple of thoughts about this ridiculous stalemate that is going on. And then at 2:40. We'll get an expert to weigh in Danny Evans. Stay tuned. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
It is an uncertain time for us all. But kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
To former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher.
Bud wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician and a daycare. So
live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Is the time as we welcome all of you back. Okay, Terry and Jack, I want you to think about this. If I was to ask you, who is the person in sports that you dislike the most? Who is it?
Wow.
Terry?
That's a good question.
You need a little time to think about it?
Yeah, give me just a minute.
Okay. Jack, how about you?
For me, it's either Bryce Harper or Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
All right, George, I got mine.
Okay.
One guy, and I think I know where you're going with this.
Oh, I think you do too.
I'm going to go with Scott Boras.
Boras, yes. Bingo. Okay. So, last night, very late in the evening, Max Scherzer comes out with his statement. And yet I'm not buying a lot of the statement because he sort of puts out there that there will be, you know, no further negotiations. And yet I hear that that's anything but the truth. And he says, I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. Terry, I will admit to you that in trying to figure out who's in the wrong, I don't doubt that both of them are. I suspect the owners are trying to screw over the players, and the players who, in often cases, are a bunch of greedy you-know-whats are just as much at fault in the thing as well. But I do think Scherzer is on to one thing, that if we had a real glimpse at what the teams have been doing financially in the last year or two, the players might come out of this looking a little better than they do.
I don't disagree with that, because I think while player salaries are exorbitant and out of control, when you can be a 160 hitting middle infielder and have your $4 million contract guaranteed, that's a little much. I don't think anybody's arguing that. But I do think that, you know, with the position that the owners are taking, a lot of people think that they are setting things up for the next negotiating period to try and force some type of salary cap down the players' throats. And the players' union, which has always balked at that. In fact, that was a big part of the 94 strike that canceled the World Series. That they are going to continue to resist that, because the baseball union, when with Marvin Miller and later Donald Fear, they have kind of pulled one over on the owners in a way that none of the other player unions, except maybe the NBA, have been able to wrangle a little bit of the control by saying, without us, you don't have a game.
Jack, here's what I don't like about Scott Boras. Scott Boras is very good at what he does, and his job is simply to represent players and get for them the most amount of money that he can get them. I understand that. That's his job. I respect the fact that he is really good at that. What I do not respect is the fact that I don't think Scott Boras gives a damn about the sport. And the problem is, and this is where he's been a little bit stupid, in my opinion, if baseball goes away, so does that luxury income that he's making off of players. So Let me read you all this, because this really hacked me off. Agent Scott Boris, who I think's a jackass, recommends that his clients refuse MLB's attempt to cut salaries during negotiations with the Players Association, claiming team financial issues caused by the pandemic have their origin in management debt financing. In an email obtained by the Associated Press, Boris wrote that players should not alter terms of the March 26th agreement between MLB and the union that called for players to reduce their salaries to a prorated rate based on a shortened season. Now, in the middle of this comes the guy that I would say right now is baseball's most loose cannon. Jack, who would that be?
That would be Trevor Bauer, George.
Old Trevor. And Trevor, if some of you have noticed, basically sent word out to tell Scott Boris to butt the hell out. Did you all notice that?
I did see that.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that it had been, a couple of weeks? There was a silent period in between the last time Bauer had a Twitter rant at the MLB. So it had been quiet for a couple of weeks, which we talked about it, kind of made it seem like maybe some negotiations were getting done. Maybe they were moving forward in the process. But just last night, the top came off of it. Bauer explodes. Scherzer, who hasn't said anything this whole time, voices out. It's frustrating, and it doesn't look good, George.
Here is oh, man. Trevor Bauer put this out in a tweet. Hearing a lot of rumors about a certain player agent meddling in MLBPA affairs. If true, and at this point these are only rumors, I have one thing to say. Scott Boris, rep your clients however you want to, but keep your damn personal agenda out of union business. Suddenly, I'm starting to like Trevor Bauer.
Good for him.
So, I love this. First of all, I will tell you, I still think a deal is going to get done. I'm not as confident of it as I was maybe a week ago. But I still believe they're going to get something done. And that in the end, Scherzer's little pronouncement last night might have been the wake-up call to all involved that, hey, we better start to get serious. As for Scott Boris, I think he is a grade-A turd. I've always thought that. The one thing I don't respect with him is that I don't think he cares about the sport that has made him a trillionaire. And he seems for all the world to want to destroy it. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like that he is intent on just getting every dime that he can out of this and to, you know, and he does. I mean, he knows the owners have deep pockets, but even when you have deep pockets, there's only so much that you're willing to give in, because after a while, you won't have deep pockets if you continue to give in.
Jack?
And Terry was right earlier when he mentioned that maybe this is playing into the next negotiations on the next CBA, which expires in December 1st, 2021. So maybe they are kind of backing the players up against the wall, knowing that there's only 1 year left on the CBA, just to further their agenda on the next one. I don't know.
First of all, I'll be real interested when we get Danny on in a few minutes as to what side in this that he's taking. My guess is that he is going to come closer to siding with the players than you might think. I don't think he's going to dump it all on the players and say, those greedy SOBs, all they want is money. I don't think he's going to, and I haven't talked to him other than to text him earlier today to say, hey, you know, we're doing this at 240. So I don't know where he's coming from. Have no idea. But my guess is that Danny's going to say, listen, don't think the owners aren't to blame for some of this. First of all, they opened up Pandora's box when they made an agreement several weeks ago and now want to blow that off. And you knew, Terry, when that happened, that we were going to have some warfare.
Yeah, I think that's a red flag to the players right there every time, because they had agreed on something. And I think maybe the owners went in thinking that there were going to be fans in the stands and they would be able to have that revenue stream for at least part of the time. But with that so much up in the air, I think they tried to change the rules here in midstream and kind of renege on that agreement.
So I'm going to be real interested when we get Danny on here. And let me also say this. Although we may only have one phone line available because we'll have so many different people on by phone, around 325, we'll take some of your phone calls, and we will also, and this may be easier for some of you, to fire a question at Danny by way of Twitter. Jack, how can they do that if they'd like?
It's pretty simple. All you have to do, get on your Twitter app. You will search for @ThePlasterShow. Once you find us, tweet us any question you have for Danny Evans, and we will read those, get those answers for you while we have him from 2:40 to 4.
It just dawned on me that one day when it gets really slow, I may have to put that question out there to the listeners. In the world of sports, what person do you despise the most? Sadly, Terry and I both came with the same person. Scott Boras. Congratulations, Scott. Okay, we'll go to the break. Danny Evans will join us. My guess is that his commentary on this will be a lot more sane than mine. I'll admit right now, I am really hacked off, and I'm hacked off, I think, at the players. I'm pretty sure I'm hacked off at the owners. I don't appreciate Scott Boras, who doesn't give a damn about anything other than getting his 3% from his clients. And I'm just not a very happy camper right now when I watch baseball at a time where our country really needs it, whining and sniveling and complaining like we're sending them through the welfare line. On that, from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Conard Transportation was founded in 2005, and they want you to know they've kept their doors open through this challenging period. They have the latest technology and equipment to ensure accurate tracking and monitoring of your shipments. So give them a holler at 800-548-8672 or go online at trucking@conardtransportation.com.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
As we welcome all of you back, we aim to please when it comes to Danny Evans. Danny asked for a little U2. I actually looked this up during the break. I saw U2 at Vanderbilt Stadium on July the 2nd of 2011. Danny, that is one of the hottest nights I have ever spent in a stadium.
Well, George, thank you for the music, because that's one of my favorite songs. That City of Blinding Lights, and I'll bet you it was hot down there, but I bet you the band was really darn good live.
Oh, they were unbelievably good. And what they had, and I'm looking at it right now, obviously the place was sold out, but they had not only, you know, the 40,000 people in the stadium stands, but also all those people down on the field. It was something like 48,000 that were there, and they put on one heck of a show.
Yeah, so they're good, George. One of my favorite memories is I was living about, I don't know, 400 feet from the Rose Bowl about 10 years ago, and they came live, and I just walked down to the edge of the bluff and listened to almost the entire concert, and it was just fantastic. It was a great experience.
That is cool. So you know where we're going to go with all of this. So let me just start generically with, what do you think right now?
Well, I think what's going on right now is a classic example of negotiations. And both sides are posturing a bit. Both sides are trying to seek out, you know, the public way somewhat, trying to get a leg up on the other in terms of the PR machine, because it is part of the deal. But I think we don't really need to have something done until next week. And I think what we're seeing is we're seeing legitimately dug in sides right now. And, you know, George, I look back, I was really lucky. Major League Baseball sent me away to the Harvard Business School for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and really some focused negotiating skills for a number of us who were in the middle of the labor agreement negotiations. And I learned something really important, and that is when you're negotiating high stakes, you've got to satisfy your own interests well. You've got to satisfy their interests acceptably and anybody else tolerably. And until you get to that point, you don't get a deal. And I think what's really happening here is in 1995, the last labor stoppage, the value of clubs was considerably less. Now, in the last 25 years, what's really occurred is a lot of ownership changes and a lot of owners having to pay down debt from buying substantially higher franchises. So as a result, the club ownership has significant debt to pay down. And that's figuring in and factoring in into this whole situation. And I think it's very clear. I mean, a team like the Dodgers, who were bought for $2.15 billion. I mean, I don't know about you, George, but I don't have those mortgage payments every 30 days.
And no.
When you've got that to pay down, you know, that is a significant thing that nobody seems to be talking about, but I think it's very real. You know, they're cash poor right now, and the value of their clubs are only valuable when the team is playing. And I think both sides have significant points. I think there's been some really great things proposed from both sides. But, George, candidly, I just think what we're doing right now is they're negotiating in public. I don't think that ever looks very pretty. And I also don't think it ever works very well, because you're really massaging the public way instead of trying to get something done.
Danny, I still want to believe a deal is going to get done. What about you?
I do. Yes, I do, George. And I think it was evident by what the players came back with. They came back with a larger number of games. I think they came back with 100 games. And this is kind of like Florence and the Machine. She had a great song about 5 years ago. It's always darkest before the dawn. And I really think that's what's going on right now. We're seeing the ugly business side of the game at a time where there isn't a lot else going on. So whereas, you know, normally labor negotiations don't get front and center spotlighted, highlighted. Most people really don't give a damn. They just want to show up and watch the game, and they're happy. Now, with nothing else going on except a Sunday golf match, this is getting a lot of attention and a lot of notoriety, and it doesn't look much different to me as it has since my career started 40 years ago. I mean, my first year with the White Sox, we had a two-month labor stoppage.
Sure.
I think that we're going to play. I think we're going to have a three-week spring training. I think we're going to have a few exhibition games and at the end of September and have playoffs, but I think both sides are going to have to make concessions in order for this to happen. And I think the critical point of this, George, is that both sides have so much to lose should there be no baseball. And I think that's a lot bigger than an elephant in the room. That's kind of like one of those Thanksgiving Day balloons in the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. These are real difficult PR topics to manage if things go poorly.
When Scherzer put out his stuff last night at the end, he, and I'm paraphrasing here, seemed to say, if we could see the financial books, all of the blame wouldn't be falling on us. That's what I sort of read into what he said at the end. Do you agree with that?
Well, George, first of all, and this is really a terrific topic and a great question. Anytime it's a statement and not a quote, you know it's been massaged, it's been edited. You know it didn't all come from him. This happens on any side of any thing in the world that's a statement where you hide behind it and you don't use a quote. You're literally, you know, dictating something where you want specifically the people who are reading it to know your points. So I think number one, the public's got to know that. You know, I've never been a big fan of statements because it's not really a quote. It's massaged. But it seemed to me when I read it, there's a lack of trust. The players are looking for the revenue generated by local and national TV contracts. And, you know, this isn't in the labor agreement. So as a result, it's a silo that they're not entirely sure of. They're concerned about sponsor revenue. You know, how much do those ad boards really bring in, and how much does that big advertisement on the top of the scoreboard really net the club? And then I think the players are looking for projections, and they're looking for projected revenues. And, you know, it's very rare that employees will hear this sort of information from an owner in any walk of life. But I think part of the reason that they're coming to those points is because they felt they had a deal. They had a deal for, you know, like I think it was in late March, like the 27th, 28th of March, that was going to include some prorated numbers. And now the clubs are coming back to them and looking for a larger cut. And the problem is they only have $170 million. Well, let's be honest here. They only have $170 million out there right now. But the players, for the players, that's like 5% of their total value. And the big issue, and I think this has been lost, two-thirds of the players in the game make less than $1 million. So for them, they're going to get the bulk of their salary. The other third of the players are the ones who would be the most adversely affected. So there's two real sets of negotiating groups. There's the set that's closest to the major league minimum, which is $565,000. But there's a third of the players who really make things happen in the game, and they're making a lot of money. And for them, the owner's proposal is not only substantial, but it's a very different walk of life for them. They attained a certain level of earning power in the game. And George, it's finite. It's very short. So for them, they view this as a radical change in their pay scale. And I'm not feeling sorry for anybody on the player or the club side, because they're both doing really well. But they need to find a way to make this work, because otherwise the sport could suffer. And the sport suffered considerably after the 95 labor negotiations, and it took a long time to recover. And right now it would be a devastating thing, because now the public is looking for entertainment, whereas in 95, the economy was pretty good. Everything was doing all right. We didn't have a pandemic on our hands. Now people are yearning for a distraction, and I think it would be really poor form to let this thing blow up.
Danny, I will. What I'll do is let Terry and Jack, when we start the 3 o'clock hour, bring up Scott Boras. But I will say this. In our past life with our beloved Nick the Stick, it's at the point where I bring up Scott Boras that he would punch you in the ribs and go, whatever he says, go the other way.
You know, I understand that. And I also know, George, that that's kind of the mainstream look. Scott Boras is one of the most impressive people I've ever been around. I worked against him and I worked with him for the last 40 years. He's passionate about what he does. He's informed. He's highly responsible. He intimidates people who aren't prepared, and he also intimidates people who aren't in for the fight. Three of the eight people on the subcommittee that is negotiating this deal are his clients. So 37.5% are speaking with him on a daily basis and probably getting some advice. I actually think Scott does a fabulous job, and I have immense respect for him. So for me, the problem is that there are, you know, he only represents something like 70 players. So the broad base of players are represented by other agents and other individuals. And, you know, most of them, if not all of them, are not as, I would say, informed and have as much resources, nor do they have as much at stake.
Danny, because stop remember, there. Stop mm-hmm. there only because I've got to get to the break before the end of okay. the hour. And then Terry and Jack will take over, and we've got a great mailbag for you that'll come at 3:25. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Through this difficult and challenging time, Brinkman's Wine and Spirits remains committed to serving you. Whether it's curbside, inside, or homeside with delivery, Brinkman's is still available for all your wine and spirits needs. You can stop by and have your order brought to your car, or you can still come in and browse. Also, for orders of $50 or more, they will deliver to your home as well. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's remains dedicated to making you feel welcomed and appreciated with their passion for personal service. Whether picking up a bottle of wine for dinner or celebrating a special occasion, or even looking for help to restock your bar at home. They're there for all your needs from whiskey to vodka, champagne to Cabernets. Don't forget to like their Facebook page at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays by appointment. Located at the Brentwood House Shopping Plaza at 127 Franklin Road by Baskin Robbins and Honey Baked Ham. Inside, curbside, homeside. Shop local, shop Brinkman's.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
The good folks at Sir Speedy of Music City are back on our show. James Warren, talk to me.
Hey, George, as we see businesses prepare to reopen, we're seeing them focus on employees and guest protection just as much as on making a profit and being back to normal. That's typical of this caring city and all of Tennessee. So we decided to use the materials that we use for signs to make acrylic shields, barriers, face guards, and floor graphics for safe distancing. Even throwing in some fun by putting logos on face masks and that kind of thing. That said, we're doing this for nationwide hotels, restaurants, as well as local businesses with two employees. Everyone is treated the same. We come measure, listen. We want to be good to our community and our customers, so we're pledging 5% of the profits of all PPE orders in May and June to local food banks. You can trust the Sir Speedy Music City team for all your reopening needs.
That's absolutely true. You dial them up at 615-832-9511 or go on their website, SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Braves Radio Network is right there with you. We miss baseball. So we're bringing you Braves replays every weekend at noon Central. It's Braves Extra Innings. We're re-airing games from the 2019 season every weekend until...
Hey, late word from Joel Sherman of the New York Post, who says that the players will be seeking to play as many as 110 games in the counter proposal that they are giving the owners. Danny Evans rejoins us to start the 3 o'clock hour. Terry McCormick and Jack Gentry will have the questions. Then we'll open it up for you all in the mailbag at 325.